number 3 is Sports 180, kicking off right now. I'm Heather Harrington, along with Vince Ferrara. Josh Ward set to rejoin the show on Monday, enjoying a nice little getaway with his family, so hope they're having a great time. And thanks to you for tuning in, especially the last couple of days where we're reliving some real-time Johnny Majors memories as Coach Majors passed away early yesterday morning at the age of 85. If you have missed anything, I'll encourage you once again, log on 991thesportsanimal.com. So many interviews and so many more to come. Vince Ferrara, as all the different shows have been sharing in the legacy that is Johnny Majors at the University of Tennessee. But to catch people up on some different things that have been happening today, one of the first ones, and I saw this about 4 minutes into our show, and it took me the better part of 2 hours to read through it, not because it's extremely long, just because of our limited time, but Tobias Harris has penned a letter for the Players Tribune. It's titled, "Y'all Hear Us, But You Aren't Listening." And Tobias Harris, VFL, only playing 1 year at the University of Tennessee, but now a star in the NBA. I think he makes some really interesting points. I'm going to put his Players Tribune article up on our Facebook page so you can find that really easily. But I thought it was really interesting that the VFL was able to pin such a poignant piece for the Players Tribune.
Yeah, I think so, and really, you know, pointed out that, you know, the reaction to people to, you know, protest and different things like that are just, again, people are trying to take the conversation away from what the point is, and that's, you know, that there are race issues in this country, that there unfortunately is racial injustice that's happening with the police brutality and all these incidents. And he even pointed back to, you know, the Trayvon Martin situation being a turning point for him because he looked suspicious. And, you know, it reminded him that, you know, wow, this is what we, you know, everybody's having to deal with. But he said it was a scary feeling because he had to get out of that NBA bubble. It's kind of like what we're talking about with Kurt Majette. You know, he mentioned something that he worries about and thinks about, that, hey, these student athletes, you know, I'm thinking about, all right, they're in a UT bubble right now, but what about when they leave that bubble and they're just there? You know, they're thinking, you know, they're just another black man, just like everybody else, where these kind of things can happen to them. So it's so different, you know, everybody's response to it. But I thought he was very direct in his article. I thought it was well done.
Yeah. Also, he was living in Orlando at the time, playing for the Magic, and what an impact he said that had on him. And him moving forward, he said one of the first things when he found out that there was going to be a march in Philadelphia for George Floyd and bringing the police officers to justice in that case, he said the first thing that crossed his mind was 17-year-old Trayvon Martin's face. So very, very interesting article. It's at theplayerstribune.com, VFL Tobias Harris, writing that, "Y'all hear us, but you ain't listening." So make sure you check that out. It's really a well-done piece. Also today, a little bit of a Marvin Wilson update. Now, Marvin Wilson, to catch you up, Florida State football player who's in his fourth year with the program, came out and challenged something that Mike Norvell, the new head coach of the Seminoles, something that he had said about reaching out to each of his players individually with a reporter from The Athletic. So The Athletic puts it out there that Mike Norvell had reached out personally to each player individually. Marvin Wilson says, no, that's some poop emoji. That did not happen. Well, update today, apparently Coach Norvell has gotten in touch with his players. Marvin Wilson with a really cool update on Instagram. And I'll tell you this, I am all about you making a stand and voicing your opinion, but I also want to see action, and I think that's something that we're all looking to see what the next steps will be. Marvin Wilson points it out. He said, "We came to an agreement. This is going to be a standard for Florida State. One, everybody on the football team is going to get registered to vote." He also encouraged his followers on Instagram to get registered to vote and use that ability. He said, "Two, we're going to do some fundraising as a football program to send black kids to college. And then number three, we are also going to help out our local community, and we are going to also do fundraising to help kids in Tallahassee. So that video just coming out a few minutes ago. I don't know where this puts the relationship with Marvin Wilson and Mike Norvell or any other members of the team, but it sounds like it's a great rebound for Norvell in listening to his players.
Yeah, it said, he said, took a stand and we got what we wanted and we're moving forward. So he said he appreciates Coach Norvell for encouraging him to use his platform and speak for what he and his teammates believe in. So if this ends well and they're able to support and act on that, on the changes in the action, then I think it'll be a good misstep if that was the case. I still want to hear what Mike Norvell has to say about the situation, but good on Marvin Wilson that they're working on that, and they're going to be better.
At this point in time, what can he say, Vince? I was misquoted. I was taken out of context. I minced my words the wrong way. I mean, he told a fib, and he got caught. It is a big fib. I mean, it was basically a lie.
He's a head football coach, so he can try, because we've seen it. You know, it wouldn't be unprecedented for someone to, like, dance around something that they were caught in that wasn't the case, so... we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what comes out of Mike Norvell's camp and how he does some damage control in that regard. But at least something positive moving forward, as Marvin Wilson shared that on Instagram a little bit ago. And then something you saw really interesting, Vince. I know this year is so weird, and I feel so bad for baseball players who didn't get to participate in their sport this year, and no expansive Major League Baseball draft, but there's an event going on. Is it tonight?
Yeah, it starts tonight. It's the Collegiate Summer Baseball Invitational. It's in Bryan, Texas, and it's going to be on ESPN2 starting at 7 o'clock. It's going to be the first of two games in this Invitational, and it's going to match up. It's put together by LaTroy Hawkins, who works with he's a former major leaguer, works with the Minnesota Twins, and they're putting the showcase together so these teams that they've organized have a chance as Major League Baseball prospects to be able to showcase themselves to the major leagues. Now, some of them may not end up getting drafted, but it also allows them the opportunity that, hey, maybe there's some interest in them and signing them as undrafted free agents after that. So there's a game at 7 o'clock and there's a game at 10 o'clock. So it's basically a doubleheader with four teams, two playing each other, and will be some really good players there. I haven't seen a full roster yet, still trying to track that down, but I think it's an awesome idea, and we'll see what the safety measures are. So you'll see live baseball games tonight, not, here in the United States, in Bryan, Texas, with some of those college prospects.
Yeah, that's right outside of College Station, is the two cities have kind of expanded, and now it's like Bryan College Station. So, yeah, it's a nice big area there where the Aggies are stationed. That's kind of your reset of the day. There's also a really interesting article if you're into reading about how all these professional leagues are looking at testing for the coronavirus. We talked about it at the top of the show with three Oklahoma State football players being asymptomatic and testing positive for COVID-19. Kevin O'Connor, he's got a great article up on theringer.com. You can check that out about how the NBA is considering testing and some of the things that they are looking at doing. So that is fascinating to me, because it seems like there's still a lot of people. I don't know anybody personally that has had a COVID-19 test. I know I haven't. Nobody in my family has. So getting your hands on a test seems to be a challenge still at this point in time. And I think it's fascinating how these professional leagues are going to be able to do this, as well as the colleges, as we had, University of Tennessee football players return to campus yesterday. So that's going to be an ongoing conversation.
Well, the pro leagues, there's ways for them to get a hold of tests. The question is, especially when you're talking about like that Orlando bubble, you're talking about in football teams, you're talking about large numbers of those tests. you know, wrestling has, when they're putting together shows at WWE, AEW, the big wrestling organizations, all those, when they do their TV tapings and live shows, they're all the wrestlers, the staff, they're all tested. UFC is testing daily when they're together, and the NASCAR as well. So they're able, the professionals are able to get the testing. The question is how much of that will be available to all the colleges to make sure, because of all those cases, like you mentioned with Oklahoma State, those positive tests coming back asymptomatic, you want to make sure that you're doing the full on testing for those kids whenever possible.
We talked about it at the top of the show as well. Drew Brees making some comments yesterday, which he has now apologized for today. Tony Dungy with some interesting comments earlier in regards to Drew Brees. We're going to play those for you coming up. And then we've got Alan Bell from Sportsline.com to talk about the NFL, talk about Drew Brees, and maybe what the NFL is facing and looking at with the social unrest and injustice going on, and how the NFL will address that. So that's coming up in the next 20 minutes. You're listening to Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
If you don't listen to Sports 180, you can't hear me right now. Now back to Josh and Heather.
Set all the news of the day. Vince Ferrara, we have some breaking news.
This is a 99.1 The Sports Animal breaking story alert.
Sham Sharania of TheAthletic.com, he reports that the NBA's Board of Governors has gone ahead and approved the 22-team format to resume the 2019-2020 season. It looks like, as of right now, a travel day, training camp, let's go through the timeline. Training camps will open June 30th. They will conclude July 7th when everybody will travel to Orlando. 2019-2020 season will restart on July 31st. Free agency will now be October 18th. 2020-2021 targets looks like they're shooting for November 10th for training camp to open for that season. December 1st will be opening night. That still remains fluid, though.
Yeah, in the draft too. You said that was in October.
Did
that
free agency did not mention the draft. Okay. Free agency is going to begin October 18th.
Adrian Wojnarowski had mentioned previously that he thought the draft would perhaps be in October, and that's interesting because look, if a player is going to return to school, Got to decide on something prior.
Before
to
then,
that.
Yeah, because yep. You would have missed a lot of class, especially with different schools actually moving the academic calendar up so that they can be done by Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I mean, you may see players, you know, back out of the draft and go back to school. Andrew Nembhard did that at Florida, and then he went into the transfer portal. So it's interesting how they're doing the playoff structure. I'm still kind of going through it to see how they're going to do that play-in tournament to include the 8 and 9 seeds. But hey, the big thing is we're going to get basketball. I'm not too overly caught up in the format of it or the teams. Yeah, I have opinions, but to me, as long as we get the sport back, that's the big positive.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes decisions like Eve Ponce's decision a hard one to make, because you still have such a fluid situation. You know, Rick Barnes talked about it a couple of weeks ago, last week on Sports Talk, when he joined John and Jimmy, that, you know, Eve, they asked for an update. He was like, how can he have changed his mind about anything? He doesn't know, you know, any sort of target dates. He hasn't been able to go through any sort of processes yet. And I definitely hate it. I don't know if this helps or hurts Tennessee's chances at getting Eve Pons back, but man, I sure hope that we get to see him for one more season in orange and white.
Well, one thing that would push him towards the draft is it's not a very deep or good, really good top to bottom draft. The other thing is, and Rick Barnes kind of talked about it a little bit. Bob Kessling asked him about it also, that he kind of had the the return mindset, but he also wanted to actually go through because he said he is so intelligent. He wants to get all the information and make sure. And he encourages him. He thinks that's a great thing. So I kind of took that as a, hey, maybe he will be leaning towards coming back. It just depends on what those NBA scouts are telling him. They may tell him, hey, you need to work on this, this, and this, but we may take you in the first round because this isn't a very deep draft. So it just depends on what that feedback is for Pons.
Yeah, I know. And I just, when you look at him, he looks like he's going to be great in the NBA. I know he's got to up his offensive skill set, but defensively, he's there. His body size is there. His intangibles and immeasurables are there. It's
athleticism,
just, it's just all about now getting his offensive skill set up to par, which when you only have to focus on one thing every single day, and that's getting better at basketball, you don't have to go to school or anything like that. It's a very enticing, offer to go into the draft.
And he's improved every year. And if he can put another jump in his offensive game and make him look to the NBA scouts as a more complete player to go, I mean, he was a defensive player of the year in the SEC. So he's got that and all those things you mentioned, but if he can improve on what's deemed as a potential weakness or question and put that on tape for him, that's only going to, I think, push
You're
him,
talking about if he far. Comes if he comes back.
Yeah, if he comes back have another year on tape.
Yeah, I think it would be great, but I think he would get drafted this year.
And he'll improve in the NBA as well.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, hey, do you want to go now and be in the second round and the guaranteed contracts and all that kind of stuff, or do you want to come back, improve your game, take advantage of the coaching and development that you're getting on the college level also?
Which we know it's elite. I still circle back to Kevin Punter. That's example number one of what great coaching looks like, and hard work on Punter's part. Yeah.
Absolutely. Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bone.
Yeah.
And then you just keep going. John Fulkerson.
Yeah, look at Fulky. Yeah.
And Barnes mentioned last night that he said he's never seen Fulkerson work harder than during this period of stay at home right now. And so he thinks that's a great sign of potential for John Fulkerson moving forward. And he said he also realizes now, Fulkerson does, that he could have a future playing this game, whereas maybe he didn't have that mindset before.
June 4th prediction on if Eve Pons returns to Tennessee or stays in the draft.
I would say if you're asking for a prediction, I'd say that he would return. But I don't have insight on that. I don't know what the NBA is telling him, but I think I would lead in that direction.
Is that wishful thinking? Because it is on my part.
Think about how good this team can be.
I know. It's a Final Four.
The best teams in the country. Yep.
It's a Final Four type team if he comes back. If not, they're a top 15 team. Maybe can make it to the Elite Eight. We'll see. We got to wrap it up. Alan Bell from Sportsline.com is going to join us coming up next. We did not have time for Tony Dungy's comments. We'll save those for a later time. But Alan Bell from Sportsline to talk everything NFL and Titans coming up next on The Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
93 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
From Sportsline.com joining us now on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. Alan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing good. You tweeted out earlier today a really cool stat about Derrick Henry and him possibly becoming the first player since LaDainian Tomlinson to lead the NFL in rushing back-to-back seasons. When you look at Derrick Henry in this kooky offseason, is there any way that everything that has happened and maybe the condensed training calendar for the NFL that could derail him there?
Well, I'll say this. So, yeah, he could become the first one. LaDainian Thompson did it in 2006 and 2007, and Derrick Henry is currently the betting favorite at about plus 500 to do it. Now, if you listen to Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator, talk yesterday, you know, really the Titans might be the ones that get in his way, and I mean that in a good sense, that they're looking to really distribute the ball across the entire offense, right? Like, they are trying to get every single person involved. And if they do that, that'll naturally cut down on Derrick Henry's carries, which I think honestly could be a good thing. Not only for, you know, really his load balance, but also, you know, it just means that you're an offense that's even more difficult to stop. Think about the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, beyond Patrick Mahomes. You're not really going to have anyone on that team that's going to necessarily lead, you know, a lot of categories. Because the entire offense shines, right? And I think that's what the Titans are looking exactly to do.
Alan, how about how the sports calendar could look like, you know, in October with everything overlapping the way it looks like it's playing out right now?
Oh, it's going to be amazing, right? Like, this fall is seriously going to be the greatest kind of smorgasbord of sports that we've ever seen. Like, if you look today, the NBA, you know, has announced that they're going to have the NBA draft on October 15th. Well, you're going to have that. That's a Thursday night. You're going to have Chiefs at Bills, you know, during that as well. If you look at when the NBA Finals, you know, is kind of slated to go, you're going to have college football that week. You're going to have the final leg of the Triple Crown that week. You're going to have the NFL, the NHL season for the next year. You know, we'll be looking to start. I mean, this fall is just going to be, you know, really as much sports as you want to take in. You're going to have that opportunity. I mean, think locally. You know, I think that the Saturday that Tennessee and Georgia play is going to be the same day as Saturday at the Masters, right? Yep. Like, how amazing is that going to be?
It's going to be crazy, and it reminds me of a situation that happened in my house earlier this week when my son kept asking for more popcorn for a snack. And then all of a sudden at dinner time, he's laying on the ground saying his tummy hurts. I don't know if we're going to be able to handle this much sports after this drought.
It's going to be a ton. And also, let me say, I love the move that he pulled. You know, when you want some popcorn, you got to have
it. Hey, Alan, the NFL is in a tricky situation right now with the Colin Kaepernick situation a few years ago and his sort of message getting lost in distraction about the way he chose to protest. And now you've got NFL players more vocal than ever about social injustice issues. How do you see the NFL navigating this time to support their black athletes?
Yeah, you know, I think the NFL is going to go about it intelligently. And what I mean by that is this, is that, yeah, I mean, it, you know, their comments, you know, from a couple years ago don't look good right now, right? And the way that Colin Kaepernick, you know, the situation was kind of handled, you know, on both sides. It's an ironic look now. So what I think you're going to have from the NFL is really a less, you know, approach of necessarily putting down, you know, rules or anything like that. I think that they're just going to listen to their athletes and coaches and players and really try to do everything that they can to help, right? And I think that, you know, not only from a humanitarian perspective is that good, but it's also going to be a smart business play as well. Like, just, you know, help where you can, truly listen to your players and your coaches and, you know, everybody involved. And the NFL has a large, large footprint to be able to do that. You know, whether it's donating money, time, you know, they should be credited for what they've done in the past couple of years. They've donated a lot of money and a lot of time to helping out. And I think that they'll continue to do that. And I wouldn't really, you know, expect a large statement or anything from the NFL, just a lot of listening and helping where they can.
Alan, what about the dynamic of the locker room with the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees? You saw DeMario Davis, who I thought did an exceptional job this morning on Get Up on ESPN in saying, look, Drew apologized. Let's not get distracted from what the original message is. He came to me and asked how he could help in terms of action prior to, so he forgave Drew Brees. But what do you think that dynamic in the locker room will be like moving forward?
Yeah, I think most will forgive him. We saw Michael Thomas as well, you know, on Twitter kind of come out and say pretty much the same thing. And, you know, it helps that Drew Brees is obviously good in the quarterback. But let's not forget this as well. You know, Drew Brees has done a ton for the city of New Orleans. Well, you know, not only the Hurricane Katrina, which was amazing, everything that went into, you know, his assistance with that. He's donated a lot of time and a lot of money to that area as well. So he's built up, you know, a pretty good amount, you know, of kind of social credit, so to say. And I think that they'll come together as a team. And they'll get through this, and Drew Brees being the guy and the leader that he is, will make it better. And he'll go about it, you know, in an actions-based way, which he always has done. So I think the Saints will be fine. The good thing for them is that they've got time. You know, it's only, what, June 4th? The season isn't starting, you know, obviously until September. So, you know, there's plenty of time for him and his teammates to work together through this. To be honest with you, that team, they've gone through, you know, trials before and certainly hasn't looked like this, but that's a team that's done it and came out better on the other end. So my guess is that, you know, that they'll all be better for having gone through this together.
I don't know, Alan. I feel a collapse coming on and a Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback ready to pounce on that division.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, Tom Brady certainly doesn't need any motivation to come in and take over and win. That division is going to be fun. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be phenomenal.
Hey, let me ask you this, Alan, before we let you go. I know there's no like official announcement, but the NFL is hanging tight to their current calendar, correct? And they're trying to make some adjustments in case they need to. What is this summer going to look like for NFL teams getting ready for training camp?
Yeah, I think they're going to take it easy. We're going to see tomorrow facilities are open for coaches. Certainly not every team is going to take advantage of that right out of the gate. Some will. But I think the NFL is going to continue to do what they've been doing, is that, you know, we're probably not going to have OTAs. They've already announced that there's not going to be joint practices. But we're going to have training camp, right? And I think the NFL is playing this smart. Like, just take your time, you know, take it one step at a time, so to say, and you don't have to kind of log jam everybody in, because again, it's only June 4th. You have time on your side. Use it, you know, in that advantage. So there probably won't be really a ton that we see from the NFL, but, you know, teams might be better off for this. And once training camp gets here, they're going to go full steam ahead, and we're going to have an NFL season.
Alan, where are the odds in terms of the AFC South, and specifically where the Titans fall in that?
Yeah, they're pretty much neck and neck with the Colts. You're going to see, you know, depending on what book you look at, the Colts are going to be, you know, probably, you know, right at minus 100, Titans plus 120, and then kind of invert that, you know, depending on which book. So it's going to be neck and neck. Pretty much, you know, every book is in consensus that the division is going to come down to those two teams. I could say this at William Hill, the AFC South has been the most bet division up to June 3rd, because you've got two teams that are seemingly, you know, neck and neck. And to be honest with you, I don't know if we're going to get much change, you know, before the season starts. So it's going to come down to, you know, a 50-50, 60-40 type split between the Titans and Colts.
Alan Bell from Sportsline.com. Tell everybody what you have going on at Sportsline.com right now.
Yeah, definitely. So we're certainly getting ready for the NFL season. We're still breaking down percentages and odds and everything for, you know, all the teams, college football as well. But, you know, coming up this month, we're going to have a lot of good sports that aren't football. You've got the UFC 250 coming up this Saturday. We're breaking that down. You've got the Belmont Stakes, the first leg of the Triple Crown this year, coming up later on. So we've got our experts there. And even KBO baseball, if anybody's interested in Korean baseball, we've got an expert on that. So, yeah, Sportsline has you covered on every sport imaginable. Sportsline.com, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hey, one final question. Do you guys have odds yet on how long Dak Prescott is going to be the Cowboys quarterback?
No, we don't. However, that's a great one to have. I mean, we're going to find out really in the next 45 days if Dak's going to get that long-term deal. I wouldn't be surprised at all if some odds pop up here in the next couple weeks.
All right, that's Alan Bell of Sportsline.com. We'll see which way it goes. Alan, thanks so much for joining us.
Man, thank y'all so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We've got the Power Poll coming up next. This is Sports 180. John Wilkerson set to rejoin the program. Again, thanks to Alan Bell of Sportsline.com for joining us on the Stanley Fenton Gates Hotline. We'll close out the show coming up next on The Sports Animal.
You want peace and quiet? Better look somewhere else. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Segment of Sports 180. I'm Heather Harrington along with Vince Ferrara. John Wilkerson set to join the program here in just a second. We were talking about the Board of Governors in the NBA a little bit ago. Go ahead and passing the 22-team proposal down in Orlando. All of that was passed today. There was only one dissenting vote there, Vince Ferrara, and that was Portland. That was the only no vote on the 22-team proposal that passed 29-1 in the Board of Governors meeting today.
Yeah, it was interesting. The Thunder was the team that we heard a lot about in terms of them wanting everybody to participate. So I don't know what the background is on the Trailblazers. They're the team that's the farthest away from where they're doing the bubble in Orlando, but it didn't seem like that would be the case. So, and look, Dame Lillard was another one that said, hey, if we're not a part of this in terms of the playoffs, then I don't know if I'm going to play. So
yeah,
I don't know if that factor.
He basically said, I don't want to go and participate if we don't have a shot at getting into the playoffs. So I think maybe him and management just disagreed on how to proceed moving forward. So I don't know. It's interesting. But John Wilkerson rejoining the program. Good afternoon, John.
Hello again. It's been a month of Sundays, hasn't it?
I mean, I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever, so thank you for reminding me. Hey, today we've covered a lot of serious subject matter over the past couple days, and we will continue to do that all week long as we remember the life and legacy of former Tennessee coach and just all-around Tennessee legend Johnny Majors, who passed away earlier yesterday, and then also discussing the tough issues of social injustice and how to bring equality. I still give a lot of credit to Missouri's Eli Drinkwitz and their football team for coming up with a plan to – they basically marched to the courthouse yesterday. They knelt down for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and then they all went inside the courthouse and got registered to vote. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I think you've seen some efforts like that. And, I mean, for instance, Georgia Tech today announced that on Election Day in November, no team activities for the 9 sports that will be active at that point in time, just because they want to make sure that their student-athletes have the opportunity to vote. And so I don't think there's any question that it's going to be a big part of the conversation between now and the time that we get to that. But again, I applaud folks that find a way to do things that are positive in terms of their measure and intent.
So today we're going to close out the show on a little bit of a lighthearted note. Let's hit today's Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
In honor of National Cheese Day, we're going to close out the show today, John, ranking our top 5 cheeses. If you will do us the honor of kicking us off.
Why, sure. I'll actually start with an honorable mention in cheddar. So many varieties, and you can find one that you like, but I've got cheddar on the outside looking in. Number 5. It's farmer's cheese. It's something that my mom really enjoyed. I can't hardly find it anywhere. Penny's been nice enough to order it through the mail at times because it is so good. But farmer's cheese for me is number 5. I like a good deli American cheese. I know some folks say, oh, that's just plastic in a wrapper. No, I'm talking about the deli sliced American cheese. Number 3, provolone. Number 2, mozzarella, or mozzarella, as Vince would say. And then number 1, Munster. To me, it's Munster.
Munster. Never would have guessed that one as your number one. Vince Ferrara?
Wow, how about that? I also have Cheddar as an honorable mention on the outside looking in, along with Asiago and a host of Italian cheeses. If any of you guys have seen me on social media, you've seen the cheese spreads, the antipasto at home with the cheeses, the meats, and the olives. I got a long list, but we don't have time for that. At number five.
You call it antipasto. We call it charcuterie.
Today it's
so there
just
you
the
go.
Tuscan region.
That's right. I could do a tournament bracket of cheeses. At five, I'm going to go blue. Love it with the salad and wings and things
could
like
see that.
Lot you can do with that. Four, pecorino. Man, awesome with the, like I was talking about, the crackers
salty.
And the antipasto. Mm-hmm. It is. At number three, Parmesan, obviously with the pasta.
Oh, yeah.
At two, feta. Feta is a great complimentary cheese and another great versatile one with salad. And at number one, in our the great former news director at News Talk, Channing Smith, got me to this cheese. They have it at Trader Joe's. Creamy Toscana cheese soaked in syrup. Oh, it is so creamy and smooth. Goodness, unbelievable. Great job. It's at Trader Joe's. Go find it. That's my number one.
Oh, that sounds very good. Trader Joe's, a great place if you want to put together a nice antipasta or charcuterie plate. Yes, great prices too. Okay, number five for me is a tie. I'm going to go with Colby Jack and Pepper Jack. I love the two jacks.
Nice.
They're just absolutely delicious. Number four is going to be sharp cheddar for me because you guys are totally wrong and some sort of cheddar deserves to be at the top five. So it's my number four. Number three, I agree with Vince. Love some good feta cheese, a nice Greek salad. Absolutely delicious. Number two is going to be mozzarella. And number one, I just don't think it could be beat. And the stinkier, the better. It's blue cheese.
Blue cheese number one.
Yes, I have been called odd before. It's not going to hurt my feelings, guys. So that's our top five cheeses in honor of National Cheese Day. John, we've been talking about it earlier. You guys are set to have T. Martin on the show coming up at 3:35. But what else do people have in store for Sports Talk today?
Well, we have another full boat, as not only do we have T. Martin at 3:35, but we look forward to catching up with a couple of Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame inductees this year. We'll have former Maryville coach Randy Lambert at 4:05, former Tennessee baseball coach, longtime Major League pitching coach Mark Connor. He'll be on at 4:35. Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com, he pinch hits for Brent Hubbs today. Rob Lewis for hour number three. And we've seen some local teams get back on the practice field. One of the first to do it was West High, and so Rebels coach Lamar Brown will join us. We'll have all that, a trivia challenge, and more today on Sports Talk.
All right, we'll definitely be looking forward to hearing everything that you and Jimmy Himes have for everybody. So thanks again for the extended time today, John, and y'all have a great show.
All right, you cheeseheads have a great night.
Hey, as a Dallas Cowboys person, I do not like that comment, and I am calling HR immediately. No, I'm teasing. That's going to wrap it up today, Vince. Thanks again for chiming in on everything, and I look forward to closing out the rest of the week with you tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be fun. Thanks, Evan.
All right, and thanks to Sam Foreman back at the station. Man, doing a lot of work for us behind the scenes. All the Johnny Majors clips and sound bites you've heard, Sam Foreman worked really hard on those, so we want to say how much we appreciate to him. We've got Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes coming up next, right now, on The Sports Animal.